Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. For your grace, O Lord, that you have been so wonderful to us. The Lord, another time, another place, another couple of hours, Lord, that we could come together to worship you. To honor thy great name, Father, for thou art truly the great I am. And we thank you, Father, for revealing thyself to us in this hour of time when the world, Father, is getting to the point, O Father, Lord, that the battle of Armageddon is just on the horizon, approaching, O God, to the very hour where it must take place. As the world, Lord, gets more wicked as they passes by, we know, Lord, you will give us more of your grace to guide us, to see us through. There certainly, O Lord, is a great falling away from the faith, from the truth, O Lord, that thou hast given us in thy holy word. The power of the prophets of old and the apostles have left their footprints, O Lord, on the sand of time for us to follow. They have contended for the faith. And Lord, this faith that was delivered to the saints in the early church, even to our day at this time now, how important it is, Lord, that we as your people today should greatly contend for this faith that was once delivered to them. So we ask for your grace, Lord, today, and in our study of thy word, that we take it not for granted, Father, the idea, Lord, that history is not important for us to know. Of what happened to Israel, what happened to the early church. But all those things they were laid out for us in thy holy word, a volume of 66 books, O Lord, are for our admonition. They are for our exaltation, Lord. They are for our gain. They are nourish. They are nutrition, Father. Spiritual nutrition, O Lord, for our life in Christ Jesus. So, Lord, help us to be as what was given and directed by the Apostle Paul to Timothy, his spiritual son, to study, to show thyself proof unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, ready dividing the word of truth. So, Father, let us therefore learn that this is the hour of the teaching rain, that we may gain an insight, and that, Lord, in the hour that we will be strengthened, Father, when the persecution and the squeeze come upon the bride of Jesus Christ. We commit all things to you today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go. Right, so now let's go to the book of Jeremiah. Oh, let's go to the book of anyway. Okay, Jeremiah 29 first, and then a lot of verses of scripture, because as I said, we are not here to attend a Sunday service where you hear a good sermon and you go home. This is a prophetic revelation Bible study fellowship, and not a church or society where you come here and, all right, socialize, but to understand the word of God. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10. For thus said the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you, in causing you to return to this place. Jeremiah 27, verse 22. They shall be carried to Babylon, and there shall they be until the day that I visit them, saith the Lord. Then will I bring them up and restore them to this place. Now we are dealing with the 70th week of Daniel now. Two verses of scripture are only two of several. When it was prophesied by Jeremiah, to the people of Israel concerning what God told him, that God promised to restore them back to Jerusalem after they have spent 70 years in Babylon. So when we look at this, let us go to the book of Chronicles now. 2 Chronicles. Now remember that your Bible of 66 books, arranged as from Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, number, and all the way through, they are not arranged chronological, huh? Okay? Alright, and you know that Jeremiah is at the back, was because these are prophetic books. Whereas 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, they are records of the king and the reign of the kings of Israel and Judah. So those back in the days of King James, when they translated the Bible and canonized these 66 books, they arranged it what they think is best suited as, you know, in a flow of thought, the history, and then a prophetic book in a certain section. All right. But some of the prophetic book you will find records of events that happened in the history of the kings as well. But they are separated because they are prophetic books. So 2 Chronicles, and the last chapter of 2 Chronicles, and chapter 36, of course, and we read from verse 20 onward. And then they escaped from the sword, carried him away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah. So this, remember this, Jeremiah's book in your Bible is behind Chronicles. Is that right? Is that right? Because it was a prophetic book, just separated one area. But Jeremiah was already living in the days of the king, so he prophesied. So this was a record of the chronicles of the various kings. So now is the history of those kings, and then he come up to the last part. When the children of Judah, of Israel, we will say those in Judah were taken captive and put into Babylon. Alright? And so this was written regarding what Jeremiah said. Okay. To fulfill the word of the Lord, verse 21, to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths, means rest. For as long as she lay, thus says she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. That's 70 years. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he make a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, the king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth have the Lord God of heaven given me. And he hath charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is that among you of all his people? The Lord his God be with him, and let him go up. Now this is the end of Chronicles. Kind of strange and part like this, isn't it? Okay? And you know, this last chapter of Chronicles is kind of compressed, shortened, because they were taken up to Babylon. And then it just record says when the kingdom of Persia comes in, after 70 years, it will go down. And he mentioned about Cyrus, the king of Persia, making this proclamation. But what's in between? Alright, there's something that we need to know what's in between. Okay? So now the thing is that when we read like this, we want to know, and I'll ask ourselves this question first of all. Who is Cyrus? Because he said, he himself said, the Lord God of heaven given me the whole kingdoms of the earth, and he had charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem. How was it that King Cyrus could make such a claim? There must be something about him that we need to understand. And I want to say this, that in our study of this 70th week of Daniel, we are studying quite contrary to church tradition. That's the reason why the purpose of God sending us a prophet is to get us out from this confusion. Alright? Now, I don't know how many of you are really Bible student then when you were in the denomination before you came to the light of this message. You know, if you are a Bible student and you have been studying the 70 book of Daniel when you were in the denomination, you will understand that the approach of what the approach that they have given you is different from what I will give you. Now, we have dealt with this subject since back then in the 70s when it came to the message. I think I'll touch upon this subject 3 or 4 times. Alright, some of you may be new, you have not known about it, but we are going to contradict church tradition, church theology, so to speak. Because every time I look into all these various teaching of the denomination church, they themselves contradict each other in so many places as far as this particular prophecy is concerned. Alright, so the question now is that the book of Chronicles ended up with Cyrus making this claim. Is that right? Now, it must be very important in the history of the children of Israel. He must have played a part in prophecy somewhere that God mentioned him. That's why he said, the Lord have charged me to bring him a house. Now, I would disagree with denomination. I would disagree with my friend, you know, who's always bugging me. Oh, it's Arthur Sachs's longinus. Longinus means it's a long arm. Okay, now, we're going to look into this. And first of all, we want to ask this question, who is Cyrus? Now, Cyrus was a type of Christ. First of all, as we study, as we go on, he's a liberator. He conquered, he's a Persian, together with the Median. They conquered the Babylonian Empire, right? So, ending the 70 years of Babylonian captivity. Not very long after that, Cyrus found out, oh, I'm the guy that God mentioned, you know? And so he proclaimed a decree for the children of Israel to go back to Jerusalem to build God a house. Do you understand that? Okay, so, in a sense, he was a type of Christ, or as a liberator. He was God's anointed, because the Bible did mention that he wasn't the anointed. We'll read some of the verses later on. And he is also God's shepherd, because, you know, he was watching over the children of Israel also, because he cares. And he's a conqueror of the enemies of the Jews. Alright? And also, the other thing is a restorer of the holy city, that is Jerusalem. He glorified God's name, because he mentioned God's name and glorified him. So, he was a type of Christ, you know, as a liberator and all that. So now, let us check on this. Let us look into Isaiah chapter 44. And just see what Isaiah chapter 44 say in verse 26. Or we read from verse 24 rather. Alright, Isaiah 44, verse 24. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretches forth the heavens alone, that spread abroad the earth by myself, that frustrated the tokens of the liars, and maketh diviners mad, and turned wise men backward, and maketh their knowledge foolish. That confirmed the word of his servant, and performed the counsel of his messengers, that saith to Jerusalem, thou shalt be inhabited, and to the city of Judah, you shall be built, and I will raise up the decayed places thereof. That said to the deep, be dry, and I will drop thy rivers. That said of Cyrus, he is my shepherd. See the word there? So he was a type of God's shepherd. He is my shepherd, and he shall perform all my pleasure. Even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. Now, here is what we want to study and examine very closely. Because in this study of the 70th week of Daniel, which is a major prophecy in the Bible, they actually give the timing of the coming of the Messiah, when the Messiah will come. Okay? And then also what will happen in this stretch of 70th week of Daniel, which we said last Sunday, that out of the sixfold purposes, there was only one fulfilled only, right? Okay? To make reconciliation. So there's only one fold out of the sixfold purposes that was only fulfilled. So what happened to the rest of the five? The rest of the five has not yet been fulfilled. Even though 69 weeks out of the 70 were already fulfilled in Christ Jesus. So they left one more week to go. And in that one more week that God deal with the Jew in the future, is going to finish all the other sixfold purposes of God. Are you following me so far? Okay? So now, we want to study in a way that the scripture will interpret for us. Now, in theology, many of these preachers and theologians, they give a lot of guesswork. Now, I don't blame them in a sense because, first of all, every student, when they study the Bible or history, we have to depend on chronology, huh? Okay? Historian, who, a mathematician, who will give us a record in history, you know, and so they write about history and they give the date and the year and so forth. And we depend on those dates and years that they give. That such and such a year was the reign of such and such a king and so on and so forth. Alright, so, but the problem is that if you look into the historical record of this various historian, Josephus, Herodotus, Anstey, Ivan Penin, Brown, which I've looked through all, you find that many of the records, the years they were given, are all floating between 10 and 20, 50 years difference. Why? Because this is the period of time especially. The period of the Medo-Persian Empire, the history is always, even known by many historians themselves, they call it profane history. Profane history. Kind of strange, you call it profane history. Encyclopedia Britannica. They even wrote that some of the record that was given by Ptolemy, it's actually fabulous. It's all fable. It's a lot of guesswork. We're going to look into it because by looking at it, we need to ascertain ourselves who was the king of Persia that actually issued the decree to go to tell the children of Israel to go and back to Jerusalem to build the city and the temple. Was it really Cyrus or was it Artaxerxes Longimanus? Now this is what we see on the chart here. I want you to look in the chart. You know, I have here this chart here. Now, this is the 70th week, this is 69th week of the 70th week of Daniel, because there is another week that's still in the future. Okay? Now what we have here is that in my chart here, I put Cyrus' decree at 454 BC. Now here below here is 445 BC, Artaxerxes Longimanus decree, which is a traditional chronology based upon Ptolemy. 483 years of 360 days per year. So that it could reach to the day when Jesus Christ, you know, whether, you know, they want to make him in the year as the day that he resurrected or the day that he died. Because different preachers will tell you differently. But we want to base our teaching on the Word of God. That's why I said, let us always be sure of this one thing, brother and sister, that the message that God gave to us in this last day, to separate from denomination, was the fact that denomination was corrupt. Organization is Babylonism. Okay, and that's why we're told to come out of her. To come back to the Word of God. And when we are separate from tradition, then God can work in our spirit for an understanding what it's all about. So in the battle of understanding of the Word of God, it strengthens us for what is to come in the future. And we know what is going to come in the future. Everybody says, yeah, Christ is going to come, there's going to be a war, there's going to be this, there's going to be a lot of economic disaster. Everybody knows that. But the timing of Christ coming and how he appeared to the bride in the last day is not known to every Christian. Alright? We all know that, don't we? By studying the scripture closer, we know. Alright? The mystery that is made known to Christ's disciple is not made known to everyone. And just as we know, out of the 12 disciples, Jesus called only 3. He took only 3 up to Mount Transfiguration to show his glory. The rest are not even made known. And out of the 3, only John was given the revelation in his time. The final revelation of Christ. Do you see that? Okay? So now, when we look into this, we just want to make sure that we are going to establish whether it is Cyrus' decree or Artaxerxes' Longimus' decree that makes sense as to the 70th week of Daniel. Alright. Look into what we have in Chronicles again. Now, in the book of Chronicles, the last verse, you see what Cyrus said. Thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of heaven, of earth, have the Lord of heaven given me. And he have charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem. Now this is what he said. Okay? Alright. Where did we read just now in Isaiah 44? And what did Isaiah 44 say in the last verse 28? This is what God said, or Isaiah prophesied concerning Cyrus. That son of Cyrus, he is my shepherd and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. You got it? So now here we have, in the prophecy of Isaiah, he mentioned the city and the temple. To Cyrus said, only the temple, the house of God. Is that right? Okay. Now let us go to another verse. Isaiah 45, verse 13. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let go my captive, not for price, no reward, said the Lord of hosts. That's the concerning Cyrus. Do you see what he says there? He shall build my city. Yes? He shall build my city. Now, in traditional teaching, there is a problem when this theologian tried to, force-fit historical deed. And the problem with historical deed is that, as I said, it's a mess out there. We'll look into these kings anyway. And let's look at chart of the kings. Now, I already told you this particular, what is this called? Chronological chart of the Old Testament. Alright? Chronological chart of the Old Testament. I bought this. You know, I used to buy a lot of books so I could study and all this. And here was the chronology of the Persian period. And I study, you can see how there's a lot of scribbling here and there. I'm trying to figure out, studying with all the other chronology. And the best chronological book that I ever had was from Ivan Penny and Anstey. Now, we will look at this. Look at these kings here. Now, according to well-known historian, whereby many preachers base their teaching upon, was this particular number of kings here. At least 10. Alright? There are 10 kings here. And Ptolemy, this one, Claudius Ptolemy, Ptolemy, his canon is based upon Eratosthenes' calculation, or his calculation which are mere guesses. Alright, now, Eratosthenes, of course, is a historian, mathematician, and so was this Ptolemy, historian, mathematician also. And here was Herodotus, also a mathematician and historian. Okay, but Ptolemy's canon is based upon this Eratosthenes calculation. And, you know, there were so many kings that he put at least 10 kings. Some even more. Okay? And it stretches from 539 BC for this Cyrus. Now, you know this one thing here? You have one Cyrus here. But there's no Cyrus here. In the other record that I'm using, based on Herodotus' account and fragments from the Behistun rock and the cylinder of Cyrus. This cylinder of Cyrus was actually recorded on some kind of a clay thing. Alright? By the own Persian historian, which they record there. And so, comparing these three fragments and record, though there are some different names. Now, don't forget that I said this. This word, for example, Arthaxerxes, and even the name Darius, or Darius, you want to call that. Now, they are actually appellative, or name titles, just like Sultan. Sultan is not a name. Right? Pharaoh is not a name. Amalek is not a name. Emperor is not a name. You understand? So you could have along come a man whose emperor would call himself Darius. But Darius could be a name. But later on, if another king comes along and says, I like that name. So I also call myself Darius. And Darius the second. So now you do not know whether Darius now is the name already become an appellative. Do you understand it? So the same thing with the word Artaxerxes. 1, 2, 3. Get it? So, in history, it's going to become very, very messy because this is a period of time. A lot of people like names, you know, and in American, in Singapore, even Chinese, we probably don't call our children after the father. Like, for example, you have James Johnson Jr. You get it? James Johnson, the senior now, I said, I would like to have my name passed on to my son, so James Johnson Jr. And then James Johnson Jr. liked that name, he passed it to his next one, James Johnson Jr. Okay, well, however, they want to pass it. So you have this problem with this 1, 2, and 3 thing. Okay, you understand that. Now, you begin in this Ptolemy is not reliable. Encyclopedia Britannica call it a whole lot of guesswork. They say it's fabulous, cannot be trusted. Okay? It has the first Cyrus up here in the year 539 BC. And he ended up with Darius the third at 331 BC or 333 BC, depends on how history one look at it. And you know, Alexander came along and conquered at 333 BC. So from here to here, it's about 250 years, give or take. More or less. 250 years. Now history is funny, it's very strange. Okay? 250 years. But now versus the Jewish and Persian history, which is only 52 years. And according to Josephus, at the best 62 years. Now you see how many years were added to here? 100 plus years, isn't it? 140 years, 150 years around there. It was added to all these kings. And some of these kings, they don't even know whether these kings are really king or they just take the name. And sometimes, okay, you take for example, if Cambyses decided to take this title, and sometimes they call him by this name, so what happened? You get messed up whether they are two person or one person, things like that. And in history, when I look into history from different historians, sometimes they can switch places. So this one comes first, this one comes second, this one comes third, and they move up and down. So it's all really messy. And that's why historians, a lot of them call it, that's profane history. But a lot of preachers accept this history. Why? They want to force fit their doctrine of this, something big of Daniel, into their teaching. Now, in the record of the Bible, we have here 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay? Now, here is this. How many kings are actually mentioned in the Bible? The Bible tells us that when the angel mentioned to Daniel, let's go and see Daniel. Now, again, just for you to Keep track on it. Alright, Daniel chapter 11. Now, if we go to Daniel chapter 10, Daniel chapter 10 first, in verse 1. In the third, you know where Daniel is? I hope you know where Daniel is. Daniel is gone to be the Lord today. He's already gone on the way if you don't know where he is. Alright, now, Daniel chapter 10, verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia. Oh, got it? Now, this chapter 10 goes all the way right down to chapter 11. Continue as a one whole chapter actually, but they break it up and that's why you have a problem. Okay? So in chapter 11, verse 2, the angel is still talking about to Daniel concerning Cyrus. Okay? Don't look at 11 verse 1. Huh? People got messed up in 11 verse 1. The 11 verse 1, his angel also told Daniel that I was also in the first year of Darius. I also confirmed to him and strengthened him. Okay? But the whole chapter 10 all the way down to 11 is about the third year of Cyrus. And this is where the angel told Daniel and said in verse 2, and now when I show you the truth, behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia. The fourth shall be far richer than they all. So from Cyrus, there shall yet stand up how many kings? Three kings. And another one, fourth one. So if this is Cyrus here, look at this chart here. Now this is what we base on. We want to look in the Bible. We don't care what the preachers say. I can tell you one thing. The tendency of preacher is this. Oh, I'm going to come to the pulpit on Sunday to preach. Let me go and listen to a preacher. And let me read a book of this, what the preacher said on this subject. Then I write down a piece of paper and I come up and I preach it, what he preached. Got it? And then this person who just do that, he never checked. I mean, there's one thing about simply preaching a sermon of grace, mercy, and righteousness or whatever is one thing, right? But to talk about history and prophetic facts, you need the word of God to be true. You don't say what the person say. Just that we have in Brahmanism. They just say, well, Brother Brahman, in the end, what do you have? A bunch of mess. We need to let the Bible interpret itself. So if in the third year of Cyrus, if this is Cyrus, or we are looking at here now, he says, there's then another three kings. And the fourth, there will be another one. Now the fourth, what we know, the name was not given in the Bible here. Now, we know it is believed by many that the fourth person, the fourth king was Xerxes. Or a great king. But yet some still do not believe that it was Xerxes. Somebody said it was Darius, when Darius the second, was it Xerxes, the same person? You know, or was it this one up here? And that's just a mess in history. So we don't worry about that. But we need to know that even Josephus said that, you know who Josephus was, his historian. Okay? Now, he said that the best is only about six kings. From the first to the last. So we have about six here. From here to this one, there's six. And the history of Middle Persia is only 52 or 62 years at the most. But what we have with this Ptolemy, he got how many? More than 200 years. So what you have now is a problem. If the preacher follows this, and then they believe that the prophetic year is 360 days in a year. They have to shorten, you know what I mean? Okay, contract the year. Now if a year is 365 and a quarter day, a year, the number of years is longer than, isn't it? Am I not right? Yes? Sure. So if you have 360, you have to shorten it. So you have to find some place to fit it. Now everybody knows in the Bible it was Cyrus that made the decree. They know. They say, no! The Bible here says in the book of Chronicles that Cyrus was only told to build the temple, not the city. I beg your pardon. Because I said this, if what Isaiah prophesied that he was to build a city as well. Right? What made you think that he didn't build a city? No, of course Cyrus didn't go out there and build a city with his hand. He didn't go out there and build a temple with his hand. No! He gave a decree to the children of Israel after Babylon 70 years that they were captive, they were being captured and living captivity. They were released to go down
to their own country. And there they build their city and their temple. Now that's what the Bible said. Why do people want to contradict? Why do people want to try to do this and that? To force their own doctrine. Okay? But then let's watch further. Look at it further. Alright, now, in the Bible you read later on when we go through, that they actually, well, you know what a decree is, right? A decree is an order, a proclamation, a lawful proclamation that states a fact that I shall answer the king, alright, release these people to go down and build a city, and I sign my big flag, signature on it, or whatever, put my seal on it, as a decree that must be obeyed, it must be carried out. Okay? Now, they all together appears to many people, there are three decrees mentioned in here regarding this rebuilding of Jerusalem. That's why when we study the book of Something Way of Daniel, we have found that out the Something Way of Daniel is divided into 7 years, right? And 62 years, right? And then seven weeks and 62 weeks and 1 week left. Why? Because of the trouble that comes in. It came in those days when the children of Israel went back to Jerusalem to rebuild the city and the temple. Now, there are two other decrees. One of them was passed by Darius. And another one was Artaxerxes. Now, we look into this chart here. The first one, according to this Ptolemy, was Cyrus. Cyrus did the decree at 539. Now, if we have the decree passed at 539 BC, it's impossible to make the 70 week of Daniel or the 69 weeks of Daniel fit into the coming of Jesus Christ. Let us look into the chart again. Let us reverse to that chart and look into it. To work out how many years is 69 weeks. We have 69 times 70, times 7, right? Okay, it is 1 is 7 years. So what we have 69 is 483 years. 7 times 7 is 49. 70 times 7 is 490 years. Now the Bible said that from the going forth of the commandment to be built, Jerusalem is 7 weeks, 62, right, until Messiah the Prince. Daniel chapter 9 tells us this. If you're not sure, go to Daniel chapter 9 and look at it. Is that right? Well, just make sure you understand. Remember, we are studying this and we just have plenty of time. Let's go back. I don't want to hurry and make you all messed up here. 70 week of Daniel is in chapter 9 verse 24. Okay, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. And then you go right down to verse 25. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment. Now this is only one thing you need to know when you read the Bible. Read very carefully. It's from the going forth of the commandment. When the day that the commandment was issued, it was the day that it starts the countdown. Not the day that the children of Israel were in Jerusalem building the city. Is from the going forth. If the going forth started on a certain day, and the children of Israel waste their time, it still comes out from that day. Got it? Alright. So from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem. Now remember, to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem. Unto the Messiah the Prince. First of all, read here, and this is where historian or theologian argue. You know, let me say this, I want to say this also. Before I came to the message, when I was still in the denomination, I was holding on to what this preacher was saying. I would just simply follow what they were saying. Yeah, I thought, after all, they are theologians, they are historians, they know better than I, me, a fellow who doesn't go to university or go to the theology school. You know? But then the trouble is that I simply follow what they... That's what they did. That's the reason why... Brother and sister, you need to check up the word. Whether those things be true. Remember what Paul said about the Berean at Thessalonica. Said, these are wiser. Isn't that right? In that they check up the word. Whether those things be true. But I can tell you one thing, 99% of Christians won't be surprised to say 99% of the Christians. I'm not sure if we said 90% of the Christians. They go to church, listen to the sermon and go back. And that's all. Knowing whether it's true or not, they believe all this. Just that we have today, you can ask any Christian here. Except for your here. Okay, go ask any of your Christian friends. You believe in the rapture? Yes, sure. What's going to happen at the rapture? Oh, one of these days we hear a trumpet sound. Angel blows a trumpet. And then I will just float up into space and meet Jesus Christ in the air. Right? Yes or no? Yes. That's what they will convey. That's what they will tell you. That's what I thought when I was in the system. I thought, wow. Then I found out the whole thing was not even biblical. Huh? Right? And then even paint some of these charismatic, even paint picture of the rapture. See people floating on the space and then plane crashing, you know, cars on the earth crashing and ship crashing on this earth. That means the rapture is no longer a secret. But we know the Bible says the rapture would be a secret. Like any translation, it is a secret, not known to the world, except only to the people of God. Even Christ's ascension was not known, right? Except to the 12 or 11 apostles who saw him go when they were out there in the on top of Sinai, all right, in the hilly area east of Jerusalem. So you understand when we look at it, we need to understand this. That we need to be very careful what we read. The Bible says, from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. Now here, you notice it, there's no mention of the temple. Yes? Yes or no? So that's the reason why the preacher said, you see, something we read of Daniel deals with Jerusalem, the city. Nothing to do with the temple. And Sinai's decree was to the temple. So what did they do? They go to search out other places in the Bible. So the next decree was given was Darius. Okay, here we again it said Darius. I don't know whether it's this Darius or this Darius. Okay, but the second was mentioned was Darius. So then the third one was Artaxerxes. We don't know this one or this one or this one. Okay. But Artaxerxes was a letter. Because when there were trouble when the children of Israel were, you know, being what we call assaulted by the enemies right about the Samaritans, the Moabites, the Ammonites, they were there in the land. They broke down the wall that they built and so on. So the report came out and Artaxerxes then searched for the decree of Cyrus and then he wrote a letter. When the letter, of course, to the effect of that decree. So it became known as a decree to them. Artaxerxes' decree was the decree. So Artaxerxes therefore started the 70 week of Daniel. Now that is not the way they do things. You understand that? Because why? It was a city. Now let me say this. In the book of Daniel here, when it says about from the going forth the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem. What is Jerusalem without a temple? Now let us use some common sense. Huh? What is Jerusalem without the temple? Yes or no? When the children of Israel in the 70 AD diaspora, they went through the First World War, Second World War, the Holocaust, and they're still out there. And each time they gather around the Passover, they say, next year in Jerusalem. Next year in Jerusalem. What was in Jerusalem then? I mean, before they came back to before they got the land of Israel in 1948. They were in Russia, Poland, many parts of Europe, many parts of China, India. And next time they gather for Passover and say, next year in Jerusalem. Why did they say next year in Jerusalem? What's in Jerusalem? Just a city?
what is so precious about Jerusalem? That if it's not there, then Jerusalem is nothing. It is the temple.
Do you understand that? Yes or no? Okay.
The holy city, New Jerusalem. We are the
New Jerusalem. Yes or no?
What good is... what good are we if there is no temple in us? You got it? Yes or no?
What did the book of Revelation say?
The Bible said the temple of God is with man. Is that right? Yes or no? And God told us that He is coming to live in us. He, our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. He comes to temple in, among us. He dwells among us and in us. So what good is a city without the temple?
Do you understand that?
You see, the house of God is important to the city of Jerusalem. So this is, it's clear cut that when you talk about the city, you have to have the temple. Not just the city itself. And the temple is separate from the city. You cannot. You know. They both go hand in hand. That the bride and the bridegroom go hand in hand. God and Christ are one. And Jesus in the day shall know that I am in the Father, Father in me, and I in you, and you in me. So that God in Christ, the house of God, or the temple, and the temple in the church. You see, you can't separate that. And because of that, people who are trying to stick to traditional thing end up themselves with a lot of mess. Okay? Alright, we go back to Ezra now, or Chronicles, and then notice one thing, that after Chronicles, the next book is Ezra. Okay. The book of Esther is somewhere behind. Is that right? It's after Ezra, Nehemiah, then Esther. Correct? But the history of Esther actually comes first. In between somewhere, between Chronicles and Ezra, actually, the event should have taken place. Okay, now let us continue. Chapter 1, verse 1. Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia. Hey, first verse looks very similar to Chronicles verse 22, the last chapter, right? And second verse also, is that right? And also the third verse, is that right? Yes or no? Huh? Yeah. So, nobody knows who wrote Chronicles, but some believe that it was Ezra who wrote it, and that he was also a priest and a scribe. Ezra was a scribe, but he was also a priest. So he could have written Chronicles, and then wrote it, or perhaps he could have copied the last few verses of Chronicles and then begin the story. Well, anyway, that's not important, but here now we have. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven, hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he gave God the glory. Okay? After all, he was now, his empire was now the biggest and the mightiest, alright, on the earth at that time. And make me, and given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is that among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem. Now he is still on a God, right? He is the God. He is the Elohim. Okay? Now, you know one thing about it is that look at that between the lines. So let's say that Cyrus came and conquered Babylon. After all, these are all warring countries. One fight against another, so now he's a great king now. You know?
So what now? His captive is his captive, right? Subjugate them, make them, their servant, pay tribute to him and so on and so forth, right? But according to some tradition was that he was reading some books of the, Jewish book, a book of Isaiah, or somebody brought it to him and pointed out to him, hey, your name is there, And he read about it, things like that, and he said, okay, this God is good. He even know my name. Alright, so I say, okay, now I'm going to make a proclamation exactly what was said here by Isaiah. And so he made this proclamation. This is some Jewish story. Now, this is not in the Bible, So the other thing right here we want to find interesting is that in the book of Esther, who did Esther marry? Go to Esther. Now, the captivity of the Jew to Babylon, their captivity under Babylon, the captivity under Middle Persia, and the event that happened, of them going back to Jerusalem, was a long history. There's a lot of books in the Bible covers that. The book of Esther, chapter 1, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus, sometimes pronounced Ahasuerus, that is, Ahasuerus, which reigned from India even unto Ethiopia, over 127 provinces. Now, this is the king whom we know married Esther. Right? You all know the story? Okay, you all know the story. Good. Alright, his wife refused to come at his summons, so he started to find another beauty queen. So a beauty contest was conducted, And of course, under the guiding hand of Mordecai, Esther was chosen by the king, and so she became the queen. Now, some historian, now it's very interesting, okay? I read, I sometimes don't know whether how true that is, because the way that he started giving some verse of scripture was trying to say that this Ahasuerus, which is of course appellative, like emperor, like Amalek or Pharaoh, right? It's a title. That this is actually Cyrus himself. Okay. Because it's interesting. I said, It's kind of like it was Cyrus himself who married her. Okay. And Cyrus saved the Jew. And at the same time, it could be that Esther brought him, brought the attention to him, that he was supposed to be the one to issue the decree to get the children of Israel back to Jerusalem. Okay? But, still, it's just floating around how true that really is. But one thing we know that the Bible described in another place, it doesn't sound like it. Now, the Bible did not give you a full detail of history. Now, the problem also we have is this. Today, if I ask you, when did Singapore separate from Malaysia? And you say, 1965, August the 9th. Is it August the 9th? Yes, August the 1965. What happened on that day? So you can go into history because they did the date, right? Yes or no? Yes. What year did Sir Stamford Raffles landed in Singapore? Then you can read the history, what years are they giving. But when you go back before the calendar was finalized by, the Roman. What they have back then? The Egyptian calendar. Egyptian calendar, they have their own, right? Like here we have in China. In China, they have their own back. China is 4,000 year history. Back then, 4,000 years ago, they would say the year of the cow, the year of one month, 7 months, whatever, they have this. The same thing with the Bible in those days, alright? In the first day of the 7th month, is that right? They always mention like this. So, back then in those days, each nation empire have their own calendar. They don't correspond with the others. So when all the only this his modern day history, they look back, they have to try to compare, try to make it fit. You get the point. But the problem is, you know, with all these appellative and all these names crisscrossing, they really find it hard, and so it become very exaggerated. But one thing, let's go from the Ezra. Let's go from here again. Now, verse 4. And whosoever remain in any place where he sojourn, let the man of his place help him with silver, with gold, and with goods, and with beasts, beside the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. Then rose up the chief of the father of Judah and Benjamin, and the priests, and the Levites. Now he says Judah and Benjamin, right? Because they were the two tribes that were taken up into Babylon, mainly the two tribes. Don't forget that there are also other members of the other 10 tribes. We know that the 10 tribe majority, they were all taken up to Assyria under the Assyrian captivity. You understand? Okay? Alright. And the priests and the Levites, with all them whose spirit God has raised up to go to build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. And all there were about them strengthened their hands with vessels of silver, gold, goods, with beasts, with precious things, besides all that was willingly offered. Also Cyrus the king brought forth the vessel of the house of the Lord, which Nebuchadnezzar had brought forth out of Jerusalem and had put them in the house of his God. So that which Nebuchadnezzar had taken from the house of God, the temple in Jerusalem, and put in his own temple, in his own to worship his own God, that all Cyrus returned back to the children of Israel. Even those did Cyrus, king of Persia, brought forth by the hand of Merodach, the treasurer, and numbered them unto Shasbaza, the prince of Judah. And this is the number of them: 30 charges of gold, 1,000 charges of silver, 920 knives, 30 basins of gold, silver, and so on and so on and so forth. Now, go to chapter 2. Now, these are the children of the province that went up out of captivity, of those which has been carried away, whom Nebuchadnezzar the king of Babylon had carried away unto Babylon and kept again unto Jerusalem, which came with Zerubbabel, Joshua, Nehemiah, Sarah, Mordecai, Bilshan, Mishpah, Bibiah, Rehum, Baana, the number of the men of the people of Israel. Now look at this verse. He says, the people of Israel. He didn't say Judah itself. Oh, he says the people of Israel. So that means to say that the people, there must be some Israelite, okay, from the 10 tribes out there. Now go to chapter 2 and then we go to verse 59. And these are they which went up from Camilla, Tahasa, Cherub, Adon, and Imah. But they could not show their father's house and their seats whether they were of Israel. What does it mean here? It means there were a bunch of people that lost their identification as to from which tribe they come from. They were whether they were of Israel. And even in the record of Josephus the historian, he mentioned about this. There were a whole lot number of them. Because the majority of those that were captive, taken captive into Babylon, they were the southern tribe, Judah and Benjamin. But out of them, remember that during the time when the Assyrian attacked Israel, many of Israel, the 10 tribes, right, were also, they hid themselves in the forest or cave. And so later on, when Nebuchadnezzar came down to fight against Judah in the south, he came from the north down, he captured all of these Israelites as well, and taken them all up to Babylon. That's the reason why this lost 10 tribe are believed to be the British Israelite, the American, the whites,
the Anglo-Saxon, they're all just false theory, false doctrine. Alright? They want to make themselves the supreme race, that they are the true lost ten tribes. And I tell you what, I already show you this, how they're trying to prove it. And they have a way to try to prove it, to make it stick. Anglo-Saxon, Saxon, Isaac's son. See, we are Isaac's son. Denmark. Dan went to Denmark and leave his mark. So, Denmark. And that's how they, yes, that is strange, but they're trying to make it stick like that. You know? But you and I know that the Jewish people, now, they all came from the Jew, whether you are, whichever tribe you come from. They all come from the loin of who? Came from Isaac, right? From the loin of Isaac, which never changed Israel. Oh, sorry, Jacob. Nah, I'm talking about Abraham, Jacob. No, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob to Israel, sorry. And then, he has four wives, two and plus the handmaid, four, right? Okay? And it was fruitful, he multiplied, he had 12 sons. Now, all those came from the same gene pool. Yes or no? They all came from the same gene pool. If they all came from the same gene pool, you'll never find a Jew with blonde hair. You will never find a Jew with green eyes or blue eyes. Oh yes, I heard a Jew. Well, is he? He's not a Jew. He's a mixed. His father was a Jew. Yes. His mother was a white. And this child came out, hey, I got blue eye. Of course that is different. I'm talking about this pure gene pool. Do you understand? That's why you see all the Jews, they always have a lot of brown hair. Dark brown hair, ugly hair. The eyes are always brownish, you know, black. You don't get all those American kind or the European kind. The fair skin, white skin, you know. You don't find that. No. You see, because they are Semitic. But the Europeans, they are Japhetic. You need to understand that they are Japhetic. So the claim of that they are lost ten tribes in Europe, that they are the true Israelite, and those Israelites that are in Israel now, that they are the bastard. They said they are the bastard. They are the one that killed Jesus Christ. That's kind of a strange claim. And that's why they get all these cutting groups like KKK and the, you know, KKK, the Ku Klux Klan, and the white supremacy kind of a group. They always want to separate the black from the white, and so on and so forth. Okay, so this that we understand here, that if there were this mixture of people now, the 10 tribes, there must be some people that are like, how many of them went down? Look at verse 64. The whole congregation together was 42,303 score. 42,360. Beside their servants, their mates, of whom there were 7,337. And there were among them 200 singing men and singing women. So there are 7,337. So together, how many of them? More than 50,000, right? More than 50,000. Together, horses. Verse 66. Mules, camel, asses. Hold on, a bunch of them. Now, when the decree was given, they were in Babylon. From Babylon down to Jerusalem. What was the distance? Of course, if you take a plane, it's only about 500 miles. 500 miles roughly is about 700 something kilometers, right? And you can take a plane and you can land it down there within 2 hours. Right? Yes or no? Okay. So how long does it take for them to come down? 150,000 people with animals, with all the heavy stuff, the gold, the silver, what they have to carry with them, their utensils. And they have children, don't forget that elderly folks also come along. They have musical instruments they brought along too. And it's not a straight road down, huh? And Babylon is far north. And it is hilly area, mountainous area. So they have to take path that goes zigzag. Am I not right? Yes. And the path will take about 800 to 900 miles. That's about 2,000 plus kilometers. About 1,280 kilometers or more.
Now, how many days does it take for them to come down? If they were to come down, how fast do you think they can travel as a group? Now, if you travel as a small group, of 10, 50, 100, you can go fast, right? But you have to see these animals, and the elderly folk, the children, they're coming down. And you cannot walk as fast as you want to. So one day, let's say you travel 8 kilometers. You're tired already. You sit down, you relax, and you come, you eat. And you're not going to travel the next day. Obviously, you just rest for maybe 1 or 2 days, then you continue again, right? Okay, so how long does it take for them to go down? Because now we want to look at it before we close. When was the decree given? Okay, let us look at the chart. Now, when we calculate, we want to... Now, it's easy for us to look back into history. Okay? As we already said this, in the book of Daniel chapter 9, it says, when going for the commandment to rebuild and restore Jerusalem, unto Messiah the Prince. The Bible says Messiah the Prince. It doesn't say unto Messiah. It says unto Messiah the Prince. Now this is what many preachers miss. Because I guess they are not, looking closer into the Word of God. Now they say, some would say that from the going forth of the commandment, from Cyrus' decree, alright? Oh man, I feel like nothing works more than this. Okay. From the going forth of Cyrus' decree to the coming of Christ, as we say, is 483 years. Okay? Regardless whether they want to take 360 days or 365 quarter day, let's leave that aside. Got it? Okay? So the Bible says, unto Messiah the Prince. See the word Messiah the Prince I put here? I'll put it on here. To Messiah the Prince. Now, some preachers said, for the going for the commandment till Jesus was born was 483 years. Now that's not true. But Jesus was born, he was never born Messiah the Prince. He was born to be the Messiah. And yet the baby Jesus was not Messiah. You understand what I'm talking about? Like the Trinitarian, baby Jesus was God. The baby Jesus was not God. It was just a human, sinless child of God. The house of God, the temple of God that God is raising up to dwell in. When was Jesus Christ, when it was God, when did the incarnation take place? Not at the birth of Jesus Christ. Trinitarian will tell you, that's the first incarnation. The second incarnation was at River Jordan. How could that be? No, we don't mean that. Jesus was born, he was incarnate God. At the River Jordan, God dwelt in. Huh? So God dwelt in God. I don't get it. You understand that? God can only dwell in something. God don't dwell in God. You get the point. The Bible tells us that this was a child that was to be Messiah. And God had to watch over him. Because baby Jesus is not God. Because God as a baby is helpless. Because you don't tell me that it was a baby God and, if it was, just like a, you look at the animal planet. When a gnu give birth to a baby gnu or a cow, give birth to a little one, a cow, immediately the cow will struggle and stand on his feet and start able to run already, right? Human beings are not like that. Alright? So Jesus was born, it was the beginning of raising a temple. When God then came down, when was that? The water baptism. That was the incarnation of God in the baptism of Jesus Christ. Right? John the Baptist says that heaven opened and saw the Spirit of God came down. And the voice said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am pleased. Which of course in the King James, but in the Aramaic, in whom I am pleased to dwell in. Paul said the same. Colossians 2:9, Colossians 3. In him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Not in baby Jesus, but from here.
And even in this verse that we already read, Malachi 3:1. Behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of coming, whom you delight, behold, he shall come, said the Lord of hosts. What temple is that? Denomination would say, when Jesus was about 12 years old, he went to the temple, fulfilling Malachi 3:1. That's not true. You got it? That's not true. Baby Jesus went to the temple. Okay? Baby Jesus went to the temple when 8 days old. Okay? Remember the priest? Then at 12 years old, the Bible mentioned. Don't tell me between that time and that time, Jesus never went to the temple. That's not true. It was only in the temple at that age that he was discussing deep things to this Pharisee, to this religious leader. So they say, that's when Jesus suddenly came to his temple. What do you mean he suddenly came to his temple? When Jesus was born, see the day that he was 30 years old, he did nothing. Any miracles, nothing. Captain will tell you that he performed certain miracles. One of the miracles he performed was that there were a group of boys playing around and he fell and he raised one of them up. And then was a pigeon that died. He took a pigeon and he prayed and the pigeon became alive. That was only Catholic mythology. The Bible was silent and Jesus never performed any miracles until after he was baptized. That's why he went to the temple, took the book of Isaiah and then he read it and proclaimed. Then he began to do his ministry. So that was when all the way up to 30 years old. One day he stepped into the water river Jordan. John looked at him. He said, you come here to be baptized? I should be baptized by you. Jesus said, let us fulfill all righteousness. It is for us to do our duty. John baptized him. And when he came out of the water, that's when suddenly the Lord whom you seek suddenly come into his temple. That's when God came down into this temple. Even that is the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in, behold he shall come. Who was the messenger of the covenant? In the Old Testament, who was the one who made the covenant with Abraham? Was it Jesus or was it God? Now we need to differentiate, because if you are a Trinitarian, you always get messed up, because that's what happened to me. God was the one that came down and made the covenant with Abraham. He was the one who came down in the Garden of Eden to fellowship with Adam and Eve, right? He was the messenger of the covenant. And the Jews were looking for him. And if you ask any rabbi, as Bob Ben said, when I talk to the rabbi, because the rabbi said, oh, you three new Christians, you chop down into three pieces and give us one piece, we won't accept that. Bob Ben said, no, we are not, I'm not doing that. Bob Ben asked him, who will Messiah be? Messiah be God, rabbi said. Bob Ben said, that's the truth. Messiah be God. But who was Messiah? If Messiah be God, then how was he Messiah? And he was God. That's when God came to tabernacle in this body and walked on the earth on two feet. He was the covenant, he was the messenger that came and fulfilled it. Do you get the point? So it's only after this, when Jesus came minister for 3 years and a half or so, he rode on his donkey and went into the temple, into Jerusalem. That's when they hail him. Blessed is he that who cometh in the name of the blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. That's when he was the king, the prince. And what was, when he was crucified, what was written on the placard on top of his cross? What was written on top there? Remember the cross? Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Do you understand that? So if we have a point, but the Bible says, from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem, until Messiah the Prince shall be 7 and 62, altogether 69, 7. So now, from this point onward, okay, we take the year that Jesus died, whether it's 30 AD or 33 AD, that depends on what chronology you're looking at. You got it? Huh? The best thing is that you put a zero here, that Jesus was born. So if it's zero, then it has to be 30 AD, that Jesus became what we call, fulfill his beginning of his ministry, and then he died at the age of 33 AD. Okay, but if you put forward here that Jesus was born 4 BC, then he died at 30 AD, and things like that. So this is how you know. But we know, when did Jesus die? What month was it that Jesus died? One month now, come on. Hey, March, April. Don't talk about March, April. This is not, we're not following the Julian calendar. What month was it in Hebrew? Nisan, or Abib. Abib is Hebrew. Nisan is Middle Persian, I think. Okay, so that is the first one. That was the day, that was the beginning of the calendar, the first month. The first first month of the month. When Moses took the children of Israel out of Egypt, God told them, this was the beginning of the month. New month. Give you a new calendar. So that was Abib. Okay? So, and it was in the month of Abib that the Passover lamb was slain. Is that right? Yes? Correct. So Jesus was slain here. So it has to be the month of Nisan. Or the month of Abib. Now if you work backwards, 483 years backwards, what year do you get? It has to be 454 BC. Now, the problem is that for those who take the 360 days, now as I said, there's no such thing as a 360 day calendar. It was there before the flood. Do you remember when the earth was on its exit, perpendicular, and moved on around the sun, 360 days. But after the flood, when the earth began to tilt, and it goes on the sun, you know, I didn't know this, it was back in the 80s. When I was studying this, and I said, why did the earth rotate around the sun with 365 and a quarter day? Then I realized one thing, because when the thing, anything that is tilted, it wobbles. It spins and top. When you tilt it, it wobbles. And that's what gave it to me. And you know what? A couple of days later, and there was a program on television, on National Geographic, they were talking about the Hubble telescope, how they looked into the earth, and they said they actually wobble. Yes, our earth is wobbling. That's why, because it is wobbling, the earth is traveling. That's what Paul was talking about. You know? So we have this traverse, so it's 365. So after the flood, it's 365. No such thing as 360 days. The prophetic year 360 days is only what the theologian want to tell you. Prophetic want to tell you. Okay, that is only based on days in the book of Daniel and in the book of Revelation. But otherwise, you take 365 normal years, it has to come out to 454 BC. And that was the year that Cyrus did the decree. If you use the chronology that we talk about, the first one where you have Cyrus' decree was given at 539. Is that right? Remember? It cannot be. You know, you have to go down to see the actual calendar, or I mean the actual number of kings in the Bible, and also in their own, what we call their own record. Okay, so 454 was what it is. But to those who tradition, they take 445 BC. They have to protract, I mean they have to contract the number of years to make it short. And know why? And they say, this is the truth. It has to be Artaxerxes Longimus. Why? Because in Ezra chapter 7, we just close it, we're not going to finish it all today. In Ezra 7, when Artaxerxes issued the letter, it was in the month of Nisan. There they said, see, it's true, because Jesus came in the month of Nisan, the decree must be given in the month of Nisan. So why is it not true that this is also given in the month of Nisan? Every year, a cycle must come on the same month. Is that not right? Yes or no? Your birthday falls in January, your birthday next 100 years down the road, you still must be January. You cannot be February. Am I not right? Yes or no? So because it was mentioned because Artaxerxes' letter, they say, you see, it must be Artaxerxes' decree. But the Artaxerxes was never mentioned in prophecy. Okay, so we close that for now and continue next week. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace, Lord. Again, for the precious word of life, we ask that you continue, Lord Jesus, to open our hearts to the studying of it. For without it, Lord, your people will surely perish, because as thou hast said concerning the children of Israel, that they perish because of lack of knowledge.
But Lord, it's not knowledge itself that we desire, but the understanding of it, that we might truly understand your plan and the purpose, O Lord, for our time. And the Lord, in this hour, that we may strengthen ourselves by your precious word of life and your spirit in the word. And we ask for your grace today again, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.